Everybody loves her and everybody knows her, and it's our Lindy. Yay!
I thank God for Judy Smith. How about you?
Yeah.
Amen. Prayer works. Judy's not the only example of that. I am one myself.
Yes, you betcha.
I happened to be cleaning out some boxes in my office over the last few weeks. Since I retired, I have a lot more boxes to clean out than I had before. That desk at work held an immeasurable amount of stuff. But I came across this piece of paper right here that's titled Dan Hare's Talk on March 2, 2005. And Dan Hare's talk of March 2, 2005 is as relevant today as it was then. So I thought I'd share a few random thoughts and start off with Dan Hare's talk. Random means really random too, by the way. Dan spoke about man and God reconciling. Having a relationship with God as a human being is something that we each have to choose or not choose. But even if we don't choose it, we all have a relationship with God, whether we know it or not. And Adam and Eve made choices independently that caused their fall from grace. We all get to make choices. In fact, there's a lost chapter in Genesis that was found recently, and it goes like this. Adam was walking around the Garden of Eden feeling very lonely, so God asked him, "What is wrong with you?" Adam said that he didn't have anyone to talk to. So God said then that he was going to make Adam a companion and that it would be a woman. God said, "This person will gather food for you, cook for you, and when you discover clothing, she'll wash it for you. She will always agree with every decision you make. She will hear your children and bear your children and never ask you to get up in the middle of the night to take care of them. She will not nag you and will always be the first to admit she was wrong when you've had a disagreement. She will never have a headache and will freely give you love and passion whenever you need it." Adam said to God, "What will a woman like this cost?" God replied, "An arm and a leg." Adam said, "What can I get for a rib?" And the rest, as they say, is history. So Adam and Eve both make choices independently of God that caused their fall from grace. Well, we all make choices, and sometimes we fall from grace as well, but not too far, because grace is everywhere. And omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient as well. I believe grace is just another word for God. But our choices are good sometimes and bad sometimes. They're on target sometimes and off target sometimes. They make us feel good sometimes and make us feel less than good other times. What we need to do is think about our choices before we make them. Sometimes we don't do that. Sometimes we make random choices. But we get to make them. When we make bad choices, consider it a shipwreck, or the ship of our life sails onto the rocks of the Caribbean, I guess. That's where shipwrecks seem to be happening lately. And the ship breaks apart on the rocks and in the surf. God is the glue that puts that ship back together again. God reverses the shipwreck, if you will. But not every shipwreck is so easily reversed. A pastor, a doctor, and a lawyer were at the pearly gates awaiting admission, and St. Peter said, "Well, you can each come in if you can answer a question." And St. Peter said, "And I'll take the pastor first." There was a movie made not too long ago that was one of the top grossing films of all time. It's about a ship running into an iceberg. What was the name of that movie? And the pastor said, Titanic. And St. Peter said, "You may enter." And the doctor was next, and St. Peter said, "Many souls died on the wreck of the Titanic, the sinking of the Titanic. How many were there that died?" And the doctor said, "I saw that movie not too long ago on television. It was about 1,500. St. Peter said, "You may enter." And the lawyer stepped up, and St. Peter said, "I heard you're a lawyer, is that correct?" The lawyer said, "Yes." St. Peter said, "There were about 1,500 souls that died on the sinking of the Titanic. Name them." For those of you who may be lawyers, forgive me, for I know not what I do. Dan Herzog also said Jesus acts as a bridge between man and God. That when we talk about Jesus dying for our sins and sacrificing himself for us, that simply means that he is an intermediary, a go-between between man and God. That he is human enough that we can relate to him and godly enough that he can relate to God. So Jesus, think of Jesus as a bridge over troubled waters. Dan Hare also said, the noise of the world gets in the way of our relationship with God. We lose insights, vision, and joy that God wants to give us because we are distracted by the noise. Boy, that is so true, and how easy it is to be distracted by noise in this world. How difficult it is to stay focused on the relationship with God that we want to achieve. So, I would quote to you the song by Oman and Shanti, which is based on the Course in Miracles. Let every voice but God's be still in me. In other words, shut up, world. I want to hear God, and I want you to stop interfering with that hearing. Let every voice but God's be still in me. Help me remember I am one with God. Pretty good talk that was. Dan still gives great talks, even to this day. In that same pile of paper, there were several random quotations, and I wanted to just throw random thoughts in the way of those quotations. Matthew 25, verse 29. To everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Now this speaks to the knock and the door shall be opened, ask and it shall be given. To everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. So this is the parable of the talents, the last verse, by the way, so you have a context in which I'm speaking here. The parable of the talents is that God has a master giving money, talents, if you will, to one man a lot of talents, to another man a few talents, and to the third man one talent. And the man with a lot of talents invests those talents wisely, and when the master comes back from a long trip, that man has multiplied his talents. The man with a few talents has likewise profited from investing his talents. But the man with only one talent buried it in the dirt. And then when he came back, the master said, "Why have you wasted all this time keeping that talent buried in the dirt? Why didn't you invest it, use it, spend it, do something with it, not just hide it?" And the bottom line is, to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. So if you're given gifts of talents, money, love, grace, don't just bury them in the sand. Spend them, especially the money. That's what makes the economy go around. And besides, you get good things for them. You can invest in tithing to the church, or you can invest in an education for yourself or a travel opportunity that leads you to enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself, it's later than you think. from the one who does not have or who buries what they do have in the sand. Even that shall be taken away. You make the choice. This is one of those choices that can be good or bad. You know the definition of love? There are five definitions of love in whatever dictionary I got this out of, whenever I got it out. Number one is a strong affection for another rising out of kinship or personal ties. That is to say, we love our family. Number one, part two, 1B, attraction based on sexual desire, affection and tenderness felt by lovers. 1C, affection based on admiration, benevolence, or common interests. We love our fellow church family members because we have common interests and we have admiration for them. Definition number two, warm attachment, enthusiasm, or devotion. How about enthusiastically warm attachment and devotion? Number three, the object of the attachment, devotion, or admiration. A beloved person, as in darling. British, used as an informal term of address. That would be darling. Number four, unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for the good of another, as in the fatherly concern of God for humankind, the brotherly concern for others, or a person's adoration of God. So we can love God, and God can have fatherly concern for us, and that is love also. And number five, a God or personification of love. Love's pretty powerful. Think about it. It's an emotion. It's a feeling. It's an energy. It's an action. Love is both a noun and a verb. There are several words in the English language that carry that construct, but love is the most powerful four-letter word in the language. Work and talk are two other four-letter words that I had to come to grips with today. For a while there, talk felt like work. But I applied love from kinship and personal ties and warm attachment and enthusiasm and devotion. And here I am, whether you like it or not. It's an idea, a thought. It's love, after all. How many of you said I love you today? Show of hands. Okay, you don't have to raise your hand, but I already made you do it. How many of you heard I love you today, said to you? How many of you felt I love you today, whether it was expressed or not? Everyone should have their hand up on that, or we're missing something somewhere. Everyone should feel I love you for themselves, for others, for objects. I don't care what you love or who you love or how you love, just do it. Love is patient and kind. Bet you've heard that one before too. It is not envious, it is not pompous, it is not inflated, it is not rude. Do you know there are how many versions of the Bible? New International Version, New Living Version, New American Version, New Standard Version. Probably 35, I'm guessing. I don't know for sure. Let's say there are 35 versions of the Bible. There are 35 versions of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 3 to 8. I know this because a friend of mine that I went to Alabama to visit said that she had seen somebody who had a thing that said, for every time it said love, it said her name. For every time it said it, it said she or he in the case of a man. So it goes like this. Millie is patient and kind. She is not envious. She's not pompous. She's not inflated. She's not rude. Millie does not seek her own interests and is not quick-tempered. She does not brood over injury and does not rejoice over the wrong, but rejoices with the truth. Millie bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's pretty cool. Try it for yourself. So I was putting together one of these for my friend who had hosted me in Alabama for a week, and I couldn't decide which version of the Corinthians I liked best. So I made her five of the suckers from five different versions of the Bible. But you can choose your own version. Write it to yourself. It's really a powerful thing, so that you will hear, you will say, and you will feel, I love you, to yourself. From St. Patrick's breastplate of the 5th century, Christ be with me, Christ be within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. That's very close to a song that the choir sings, which is also from probably the 5th century, I'm guessing. God be in my head. God be in my head and in my speaking. God be in my eyes and in my seeing. God be in my mouth and in my speaking. I guess I missed one. God be in my heart and in my thinking. God be at my end and in my departing. And when the choir sings, it's even prettier than that, right, Jane? Yeah. So, Hafiz was an 11th century mystic about 100 years off of Rumi. So you may have heard of Rumi, but not of Hafiz, and if you're really lucky, you've heard of both of them, and if you're really unlucky, you haven't heard of either one until now. But that makes you really lucky because you're hearing about it now. Hafiz said, start seeing everything as God, but keep it a secret. Hafiz also said, I wish I could show you, when you are lonely or in darkness, the astonishing light of your own being. I wish I could show you the astonishing light of your own being. That's my mission, to show the people I come in contact with their God self in the mirror that I hold up. I try to do what Hafiz says, to show them, whether they're lonely or in darkness, the astonishing light of their own being. Because if you can see that, then you will have achieved the beginning foundation of a relationship with God that will serve you throughout your life. You will find the definition of love. You will express love felt, given, received. And your relationship with God will be as no other. Mr. Rogers said, when we love a person, we accept him or her exactly as is. The lovely with the unlovely, the strong along with the fearful, the true mixed in with the facade. And of course, the only way we can do so is by accepting ourselves that way. Mr. Rogers was a pretty smart guy. Well, I'm kind of running out of random thoughts here, and I already ran out of time. So let me close with a Rumi quote. If you've opened your loving to God's love, you're helping people you don't know and have never seen. If you open your loving to God's love, you're helping people you don't know and have never seen. When we prayed for Judy Smith, for many of you, it was that you didn't know her and had never seen her. But you opened your love to God's love and were willing to pray to help her survive cancer and to be with us tonight. And we thank God that it is so. And we continue to thank God for all that we get out of our relationship with him. And thank you for giving me this time. And thank you, Dan Hare, for that talk you gave on March 2nd, 2005.